St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Take care not to perform righteous deeds in order that people may see them. Otherwise you will have no recompense from your heavenly Father. When you give alms, do not blow a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, to win the praise of others. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. When you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right is doing, so that your almsgiving may be in secret, and your Father, who sees in secret, will repay you. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, who love to stand and pray in the synagogues and in street corners and out in order that others may see them. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go to your inner room, lock the door, and pray to your Father in secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, will repay you. When you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites. They neglect their appearance so that they may appear to others to be fasting. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you may not appear to be fasting, except to your Father who is hidden. And your Father who sees what is hidden will repay you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
It's tempting when we begin Lent to obsess, frankly, about our Lenten spiritual practices and penances in a way that can turn us inward, which is exactly not what's supposed to happen. Ultimately, Lent has two main characteristics. First, it's relational, and then second, it's quasi-sacramental. Pope Francis, this year on that second point, writes his Lenten letter, starting off precisely by saying, "This is the efficacious, visible sign of the Church's perpetual conversion, of ours and the entire Church's need constantly for God's mercy, for us to become whom He wants us to be." But it's also fundamentally relational. Today, God says to us, "Return to me with your whole heart." He asks us to love Him with 100% of our heart, our mind, our soul, and strength. Today, the Lord reiterates that call, tells us to rip open our hearts so that we can receive the gift of His mercy. "Gracious and merciful is He," He tells us through the prophet Joel, "slow to anger, rich in kindness, relenting in punishment." He wants to pour His mercy into that heart, but He requires our cooperation. That's why St. Paul is chosen always as an ambassador of Christ, God Himself, as it were, appealing through him to be reconciled to God, to recognize what an incredible opportunity God has given us, and not to waste it, because now is the acceptable time, now is the day of salvation. If we open ourselves up to receive this gift, today, this whole season, is a season of salvation. It's not merely a season of penance. It's a season of that extraordinary gift of the Lord. And Jesus in the Gospel wants to drive that point home. He wants us to grasp that each of our practices is meant to be relational. That when we fast, we're not to fast the way others fast. We're to fast for our Father who is in secret. Fast, ultimately, as the Church will have a chance to ponder this Friday through the words of the prophet Isaiah, to hunger for what God hungers. God, through our fasting, wants to transform us more and more to share His longing. He wants us to rip open our hearts to receive that gift. When we give alms, we're supposed to be distributors of God's own loving providence. It's been interesting that for the last several years of my life, I preach about giving alms to sisters under the vow of poverty. But there's something really beautiful here, because so often people look at alms as giving stuff to others. And that's important when we have stuff to give. But the most important thing, as St. Paul wrote in one of his letters, is to give ourselves together with whatever gifts that we give. And it's an extraordinary time for us to reiterate in action the self-gift, which is our consecration. But we're supposed to do that together with the Lord, to recognize that He has given us this gift that we can give back to Him and give to others, that He has enriched us with every spiritual blessing in the heavens. He wants us to use those gifts not for ourselves, but for Him and for the kingdom. And when we do, those very gifts grow. It's an amazing thing that everything we truly give away, united with the Father, we get back a hundredfold. He says, when you pray, go to your inner room, as I've explained before in Jewish houses. Their safe was more or less an inner closet. Some of the times you could actually lock it. It was a place in which you put the greatest valuables that you had, that you didn't want a thief finding and taking. So when we go to our inner room, we go to that place where we treasure most with the Father. We're not doing it for others to see, but to nourish that intimate conversation with the Lord. He wants us to rip open our hearts so that He can whisper heart to heart to us in prayer. This is the meaning of the season. On the fourth Saturday of Lent, we will have a chance to ponder the longest gospel reading of the year, which is in many ways the most moving, no matter how many times we hear it, the parable of the prodigal son, in which we recognize that we've hit the pit. We come to our senses. We understand the Father's goodness, and we make the journey home. But as we journey, the Father likewise journeys, and He runs on out, and He restores us all the way back to the dignity we have as His baptized and beloved sons and daughters. He'll put sandals on our feet to reestablish us in freedom, because slaves never had sandals. He'll kill the fatted calf, or better, He'll allow us to consume His Son as the precious lamb. He will cover us in His own finest garment, all His blessings, despite the fact that we might have just come from a sty. And then He will put His signet ring on our finger so that we can essentially sign deeds in His name, so that we can act in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is what this season is about. Back in 2011, Pope Benedict said something absolutely awesome about Lent, if we're really going to get its meaning. He said, Lent is not about a minor spiritual course correction, a tiny little adjustment where we just put a little oil here and then everything runs. He says, Lent is about a profound conversion. This conversion is to change our hearts and rip them open, but it's also to change our minds. Metanoete is the word. Turn your head around. Turn the way you look at things. It says ultimately conversion is to grasp that we are not who God wants us to be yet, but He's going to give us all the means so that we can become who He created us to be. Conversion is about recognizing that there are many parts in our life that do not yet turn together with the Lord. Convertere, turn together with the Lord. And this holy season helps us to recognize that Jesus, sent by the Father, comes to us and makes it very simple. He says, I am the way. Follow me. He's the one who will show us during these days how to pray to our Father in secret. He is the one who will show us how to be bold in our fasting as he was in the desert. He is the one who will show us how to give ourselves, even to the last drop of our blood, recognizing we will get it all back and more. Return to me with your whole heart. I implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Now is the acceptable time and the day of salvation. As we turn to the Lord, for we have sinned, and beg him to be merciful, he responds by giving us exactly what we ask for. May this so transform us so that we might become, individually and collectively, the sacrament of the church's perpetual conversion, calling everyone in this same appeal to be reconciled to God in this world, so that we might live forever in the Father's house in heaven.